Ben just stuck his head up like a meerkat.
Look
you
at
see,
that.
You know that, that meme of the meerkat sticking his head up out of the hole? Ben just did that. He found his Milo sweet tea. I'm telling you, look, if you want to just go leave.
Heaven's nectar right there.
You can do that. Oh, man. Sam Jones back on the ones and twos back in the Upcountry Fiber studios. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection. Ben, we have.
Oh, look at this. Man,
that's the service
you get right here at
Sitting Scott now. Sampson.
Thank
not
you.
Only will he take care of your dog, he'll make sure you get the sweet tea
Pardon
you require.
Pardon me for a moment.
Yes. It'll give me time to set this up, okay? We have SEC order of finish, okay?
Uh-huh.
Stop me when something surprises you. All right, this is media poll. By the way, oh, go ahead, because you were looking at this during the break, and then we'll get to SEC order of finish.
We talked about Nick Saban's comments, what was that, yesterday, I guess, how, you know, just because you win the national championship doesn't mean your conference is the best, unless you're the SEC. So he went one step further. He said, I think the best conference gets defined by how many good teams you have from top to bottom. Brett Bielema quote tweeted it and said, I appreciate you bringing this up. And he posts the photo of the Illinois-South Carolina score and the Illinois-Texas score in the last two bowl games. That's fantastic. I love just a random troll like that.
I appreciate that coaches could be really buttoned up, like could be very buttoned up on Twitter, but instead Brett Bielema has decided to be one of the unlikelier Twitter trolls that we have.
The next time Bielema holds back will be the first time.
it's just so great.
He don't care.
Remember the time he might have been unemployed when he just randomly was on campus? Like I drove right by Dabo, Kathleen, him and his wife on a golf cart, and I was like, who's the big guy with Dabo? Who's the big guy? Oh, he must be taking around some parents on a recruiting weekend or something. And it turned out Brett Bielema was just coming down chilling. He had flip-flops on. Just coming down chilling. No big deal. I thought the guy was really super serious until that moment. I thought, no, this guy ain't serious at all. All right, SEC order of finish. By the way, we should note the ACC met a million years ago, and we don't know the order of finish. The SEC finished like 2 seconds ago, and we already know where the media thinks they're going to finish. All the teams. How's that possible?
It's the ACC way, man. It's the same. It's the scheduling people.
Like
that do it, I guess.
Like, I appreciate – there are some years where you go there, and you know this, Ben, because I've stressed about it on air. There are some years where you go there, and it's like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and they're like – your ballots due Wednesday at 1 p.m. And you're like, well, that's I can't even talk to all the teams then. Or like, you know, the noon on the last day. And it's like, well, we haven't even done everything. Like, at least give me till the very end. So I understand. I don't love that. The ACC gave everybody until, I think, Tuesday or Wednesday this week. Maybe Wednesday this week to get their ballots in. But you got to be – you can't. You can't let the SEC get their order. Like, when is the ACC doing it? When are they getting their order of finish out? You got jumped by the SEC. This is ridiculous. Anyway, God, this is a joke. All right, stop me when something surprises you, okay? Number one is Georgia.
Stop.
Nice. I was wondering if you were going to say that.
Not a huge surprise. Georgia historically probably deserves to be mentioned there. I thought the media would lean Texas.
You know, I thought the media would too. This might be, you know, I always am sort of, I don't know if I'm always surprised about this or curious about this. The thing is held in Tampa. I bet more voters have more of a feel for Georgia than they do. Like, if the thing were in Dallas, would
perhaps
Texas be the leader? It's that kind of a thing.
Not a big deal, but
not a big deal, but noteworthy. Number two is Texas.
Okay,
I'm gonna draw a line right there. Okay, because they're very close in terms of points.
Do we have vote numbers?
We have vote numbers. Georgia has 2,519 points. Okay. In fact, let me look. Let me see if I have. Let me see if I have.
I have first.
Do you have first place votes?
Yes, I do.
Let's see here. Okay. Here we go.
Okay, now, and this surprises me.
Okay.
Georgia with 88, Texas with 57.
Okay, so that's pretty big gap.
That's not as close as I would have thought.
No. So those are the top two. Then we have tier two from the media. We have Ole Miss, 3. Texas A&M, 4. LSU, 5.
I'm a little surprised LSU is that high.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, schedule-wise.
True. You get a Lane Kiffin bump, but
that's an expensive roster.
It is.
I mean, they really did.
Maybe I shouldn't be surprised there.
Then you have Alabama 6, Oklahoma 7, and I'm drawing a line right there. Those are very like we're talking about 90 points separating 3 and 7.
I will take Oklahoma over Alabama.
I think Oklahoma should be higher than Alabama.
I might take Oklahoma over LSU.
You know my thoughts about Pete Golding, but I do think Ole Miss has a really good team. I think their team is good.
Those three teams are grouped together somewhat. Well, along with Texas A&M, who is 4th. So there's 53 points is all separates 4, 5, 6, and 7. In terms of votes,
and I think it's sort of a preference or a taste thing with all of those teams. Interesting that like Elko gets a bump over Kiffin, because A&M. Listen, if there's one thing you say about A&M, and we had talked a lot about A&M this week, Texas A&M had a really easy conference schedule last year, and it does get much more difficult. And I'm not sure there won't be some natural regression because of that.
There's a major vote differential between Oklahoma and Tennessee. Tennessee is the next one at 8. Is that the right grouping of teams? A&M, LSU, Alabama, Oklahoma?
To me, I think it is. I think the Ole Miss, Texas A&M, LSU, Alabama, Oklahoma, I think that I'm comfortable with that.
I typically lean the Alabama way, Quok, but I think you could make an argument that Alabama is more in that Tennessee category and not in that group.
Oof.
That doesn't feel natural to say that. I get it.
Yeah.
But why?
Does DeBoer get a bump?
Okay, so look at Alabama's roster. Look at LSU's roster and Texas A&M's roster. I don't think they're the same.
No,
I don't think they're comparable.
A&M is more like LSU than they are like Alabama. That's true. I don't. I continue to not love Alabama's personnel.
I think Alabama is more similar to Tennessee than they. And I don't mean that. I'm not knocking Tennessee at all, but I think they're more similar to Tennessee than they are Texas A&M.
Do you think?
But there's 23 points that separates those two. 23 votes is all. You had 3 first place votes for Alabama, by the way.
No, that ain't it. They're not winning the league. Who voted Alabama first? That'd be a hanging Chad situation.
It's not the person who voted Kentucky first. I don't know who it is, but I know it's not the one person who voted for Kentucky to win the league.
Look, I know that we can't just take this stuff like this to the bank. Kalen DeBoer's never won fewer than 9 games. Never won fewer than 9. I don't know what he did at D2. I have to go back and look at D2. But he's been a head coach 5 years at the FBS level, not counting the COVID year, which they played 6 games at Fresno. He's won 9-11, 14, 9-11. Like, they did go – the one thing I have to convince myself and remind myself, Kalen DeBoer has a 770 win percentage as a college head coach. If you take out the COVID year, let's just say you do Washington and Alabama, he's 45-11. It's over 800.
But you're not wrong. But at the same time, win percentage did not help Dabo Swinney this past year.
No, it did not.
Win percentage did not help James Franklin this past year. I mean, it is – you can still lose even though your history has been great like that.
I trust that DeBoer – I trust DeBoer more than I trust almost any of these other coaches that didn't go get a portal quarterback or don't have a proven quarterback returning. I trust him to get that position correct.
Alabama has done it with talent, though, forever.
It's true.
And they just – it's not that they have bad talent. They don't – is their roster just littered with elite talent right now?
No.
I don't think it is.
I think if you look at NFL draft, you're more likely to find an NFL mock draft that has no Alabama players in the first round than you are to find an Alabama player. I just think more – you're more likely than not going to see one of the Alabama players taking the first round. That's true. I agree with you on that. But like I said, it's tricky because I trust Kalen as a coach. Just in big picture, broad strokes. I trust Kalen DeBoer more than Lane Kiffin. Like I trust Kalen DeBoer more than a couple of those other coaches in that tier. Like I think a lot of Mike Elko. I for sure trust Kalen DeBoer more than Pete Golding. I trust Kalen DeBoer more than I trust Brent Venables. The only caveat would be if you think Alabama's not in that tier, is Kalen DeBoer that much better than those other coaches that have better rosters?
We're going to find out if Alabama is better than – they're not better than Georgia. We're going to find out if they're better than Tennessee.
Let me hit a win game.
Comparable.
Let me hit a win game with Alabama real
okay.
quick. While I'm in a pro DeBoer frame of mind, let's do this.
I'm just going to do conference games. That's what we're talking
okay.
about here.
All right.
They're non-conference just – for giggles, East Carolina, Florida State, and Chattanooga.
Okay.
So.
Neat.
Going to be favored in all those. At Kentucky.
Okay. Win.
South Carolina in Tuscaloosa.
Win. Struggle, but win.
I would give them a half there, but that's fine.
I mean, Beamer kind of has had there for the last 2 years. Beamer's been pushing them.
Beamer's beaten them 2 years in a row, except on the scoreboard, except for the one place that matters.
Can they do it a third time? Can they do the same thing a third time?
It does seem likely.
We probably should give them a half, just because of what you said is accurate.
It does
we should
seem
give them
likely,
a half.
Though. At Mississippi State,
I'm giving them a half. I might be the. Actually, Walt and I are talking about Mississippi State.
So I had to talk you into South Carolina, but you're going to automatically give them a half at Mississippi State? Okay.
Ben, I'm glad you asked.
I'm not going to argue.
I'm glad you asked. You know what? We'll have to save Mississippi State for the other side.
But
I've got my Mississippi State propaganda.
Okay. Georgia.
Loss.
At Tennessee.
Half.
Texas A&M.
Was that 2.5?
Yep.
Half.
3. Man, we're fence sitting here. At LSU.
Loss. That'll be a night game.
At Vandy.
Win.
Chattanooga. Auburn to close it out.
Auburn, at home?
Auburn's in Tuscaloosa.
I'll give him a win on
but
that.
I said Auburn's in Alabama.
That's 5.
Yep.
I gave him 5. 5-4-ish.
Okay. 5-4 is going – would then put them where I am suggesting.
Tennessee, Florida, Missouri. That's a tough schedule. It's tough if you think Mississippi State is good, which I would say. We'll go to Kevin and Mitch. We're going to come to you guys on the other side. Stay with us. 654-ROAR is the number. We'll be back. Talk more sports with you live from Centhound in a moment.
With the Roar app, you're carrying 13 hours of live local sports talk right in your pocket. From the start of the Mickey Filer Show to the end of Road Rage, we're streaming live no matter where you are in the world. Download the Roar app today.
All right, this hour of the program is brought to you by our friends at Breeze Airways. I'm about to get on a plane Monday to fly to Italy. And I love flying. I think it's great. I especially love flying if I can do it for a low price. On a high-quality airline that's going to give me some good amenities and treat me well. And that's why I love Breeze Airways. That's also why I love that they're continuing to build out infrastructure and build out nonstop flights out of Greenville all across the United States. You want to go to South Florida? They got you. You want to go visit family in Ohio? They got you. You want to go across the country to L.A.? They got you. All over the fruited plain, Breeze Airways can get you there. It's an award-winning airline, and they're continuing to grow their presence right here in the upstate at GSP. GSPAirport.com or BreezeAirways.com for more information.
The game.
Kevin is up first, and Mitch will follow. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, Quok. Great show, man. Always so many different directions you take us, and it's good.
What you're saying is that we're wordy and undisciplined is what you just said, but I appreciate it.
And I saw the previews for the SEC. I'm a Gamecock fan, so we're high on Lenore Sellers. We hope it's Lenore's of 2 years ago. We like to blame Mike Shula for the drop-off last year. But, you know, they weren't really that far from last year where they were the year before. They were beating Missouri early in the fourth quarter and lost. They were beating Alabama in the fourth quarter and lost. Who can forget Texas A&M up 30-3 and getting beat? They were hanging with Clemson until the last 7 minutes, 8 minutes of the game really got away from them. So, you know, they're not a bad club. They've got Dylan Stewart, who may be the best defensive end in the country. Nick Harbor, I'm seeing he's projecting as a first or second round draft pick in the draft. So they've got some talent. And with Beamer, he's one of the best cheerleaders in football. I feel like he's, you know, more suited to run the cheer team than the football team. But he tries to motivate. And every 2 years, he wins nine games. Last year, they won four. The year before, they won nine. So I look for him to be a little bit better this year than he was last year. And I started thinking about him last night when I watched a Canadian football game. It's like South Carolina only gets three downs. They don't get a fourth down. It's like we may as well punt on third down most times. So this guy's got a lot to prove. And I think they need to start looking for his replacement. And for me, I'm leaning towards Rhett Lashley. I think he might be the guy for the job. He's from the Deep South. I believe he played at Samford. So he's got some roots here in the South. And I just want to know what you think about that. And, you know, hey, it's right around the corner, man. We got 4 weeks. But I'm with your boy Milstead on South Carolina pulling the upset in week four at Alabama. They should have smoked them the last 2 years they played. And I believe they're going to get them this year. I don't think Alabama is the team that they're getting respected for in the SEC polls. I'm like you guys. I think Oklahoma might be the third best team in the league. And then after that, you got a big plug of teams that are about the same. But I look for South Carolina to be special this year. I think Kentucky is the sleeper in the conference this year. They got a great new young coach that comes to them with a lot of wins under his belt as a coordinator. So I think that's going to be a big game, too, in Columbia when those two guys meet.
All right, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Kevin. Let me ask you one thing real quick before you hang up.
Yes,
let me ask you one thing. Where would you have South Carolina in your poll? Out of 16, we haven't gotten to South Carolina yet in this list. I'm curious, where would you have them on this list or at least a range?
Well, I've got them going 8-4.
Okay.
And honestly, I have picked us to lose at Clemson.
Okay.
You know, when you look at records, Clemson is 9-2 in the last 11 games against Carolina. Sooner or later, they're not going to go to Death Valley and keep sneaking out with a win. I think that might be the case this year. So I got South Carolina going 8-4. I got them going three losses in the conference. So I think that puts them about 6.
Okay. All right. That's good stuff. I appreciate it, Kevin. Thanks for the phone call. That'd be 6-3 in the SEC.
If they go 6-3 in the SEC, they're going to be 5-6.
Oh, yeah.
Somewhere around there.
That's tough to do.
I told Quok during the break, Alabama is going to do something like beat Georgia and lose to South Carolina.
I don't disagree.
Yeah,
that's, I don't disagree. They very well could do that. South Carolina's, in order to go 6-3, you're gonna have to pick off a road game at Alabama, at Florida, at Oklahoma, or at Arkansas. You're gonna have to get one of those and then run the table at home. I think Arkansas's butt. I think Arkansas stinks. That's the only team in the league that I think stinks. South Carolina was picked 11th. South Carolina is in. We talked about the Tennessee, Florida, Missouri beneath Oklahoma, which I think those are three very interesting situations. Then you have South Carolina and Auburn that are sort of separated, and South Carolina and Auburn are separated by like 20. You know what's crazy? Somebody asked on the Adams Corping text on a while ago, who's a dark horse in the SEC? I think it's Auburn. Then Byron Brown is their quarterback. They have a 1,000-yard rusher in Jeremiah Cobb. I know what they lost at receiver. They got the Nimrod kid from Tennessee that I think is really good and hasn't had an opportunity. They've got the Singleton kid that was Brown's number one weapon at USF. They got the Koger kid who's an 800-yard receiver at USF. They're basically just imported the USF passing game. They have a solid offensive line in play, some returners, a couple of imports. Defensively, they've given up fewer than 23 points the last 3 years.
And maybe more important than anything, what they don't have is they don't have Hugh Freeze.
Yes. I think, you know, this roster is being slept on.
That's, in terms of dark horse, that's a pretty good name.
You know what I want to see in the SEC?
I like Byron Brown.
I like Brown a lot. I want to see, because they play a 9-game conference schedule like everybody else. I want to know that there are teams that I'm not sure are making a bowl that are on your schedule. Like a couple of these, you've only got one or two teams I'm not sure are making a bowl on your schedule. They play a home game against Vandy. They play a home game against Arkansas. They play at Mississippi State. That's three of their nine. And you know what? I'll throw Florida in there. I think Florida's going to make a bowl, but that's four teams that I'm not totally certain are going to go 6-6 or better that are on their schedule. I think that's about as manageable as you're going to get in this league this year, among that group of teams. I think if you're asking me, let me just put it this way. If you're asking me which team am I buying more, South Carolina or Auburn, I think I'm more likely to buy Auburn than I am South Carolina. I think I would have Auburn ahead of South Carolina.
I also think it's beneficial that you play games that you know you're not going to win anyway on the road, because
yes,
that means that you're going to have a home game that you potentially can win. They play at Georgia, at Ole Miss, and, you know, you can even throw Alabama in there, at Alabama. Although, I mean, I certainly wouldn't chalk that up as a win. If Auburn is the team that you think that they might be, that they could be, then they win that game at the end.
You know, Auburn impressively has lost exactly 7 games 5 straight years. 6-7, 5-7, 6-7, 5-7, 5-7. Remarkable. I think they're primed for 9 wins. I think they are. Now, they might lose to Baylor, because as good as Byron Brown is, you got DJ Lagway at Baylor, week 1 in Atlanta. That's a really good week 1. Let's go back to the phones. We got Mitch, who's up with us next on the Pratt Andrew Lawyers phone lines. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Quark, how's it going?
Good, man. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, doing well. I have two questions for you, but Kevin's phone call made me think of something. He was, you know, mentioning the Carolina players, and he called Nick Harbor talented. And I was, you know, he is talented, but I think when people say that, they mean he's fast. Like, can we stop saying he's talented? Because I just think he's fast, and he really hasn't shown much talent besides speed at the game of football. I mean, he's basically the reason they lost the Clemson game last year with the interception. He, you know, bricked it off his hands for the interception.
Yeah.
And he had a fumble earlier in the game, I think, too. So,
you know, that's a really good point, because I do think talented and athletic get interchanged, and he is definitely more athlete than talent. I would agree with that.
Yeah, he's maybe one of the fast, or he probably is the fastest player in football, but he just, you know, unless you get in those situations and have the ability to be that type of football player, you're just fast. So that's what I think about him. But my question, or the reason I called, is I've actually been at the beach and on vacation the past couple weeks, so I've missed, like, all the interview talk with the coaches and the when y'all were in Charlotte last week. So I was trying to catch up on some of that, but really to kind of get a better picture of the situation, I was going to ask you your takeaways. And my questions were, what is the thing that you took away that you were the most surprised to hear or kind of excited about? And then the thing that you took away that you were the most concerned about the Tigers for the upcoming season. And I'll take your comments off there.
Very interesting. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. We've run out of time to do Ben Bulwer today, so we'll have to do Bulwer next week. So that's the only coach that we haven't heard from. I think the thing I'm most surprised about is that C.J. Spiller really likes David Ezeamume, and everybody really likes Chris Johnson Jr. I think people were still holding out that was a question mark, but now it feels like in the last 2 weeks, Ben, correct me if you feel different about this, maybe a week and a half, that Chris Johnson Jr. has gone from, hey, how does he fit, whatever, to I think we all agree that Chris Johnson Jr. is going to be a monster. They're going to use him 100 ways, and everyone knows it, you know? We were just kind of needing someone to say that to us. So that might be the most surprising. The most concerning thing, I still don't feel great about offensive line week one. I'm not sure that's a new concern. I don't think I came away with any new concerns after talking to coaches. I'll tell you a new concern that I have. A new concern is the number of coaches that told us that the best player in their room is quiet. Like they're trying to challenge their players to be more. Sammy Brown, he's trying to be more vocal, and Gideon Davidson trying to be more vocal, and all the, like, a lot of the best players on this team, a lot of the guys are going to be starting, don't have naturally big personalities or loud personas. And I think that's probably something you can work with, but I think you'd rather those guys that are at the forefront be the vocal leaders.
I understand the point Mitch was making about Nick Harbor, but I don't know that I fully agree with that in terms of the talent. I would have said that his first 2 years, there's a track guy playing football, you know, that doesn't know how to catch a football yet. I felt like he redeemed himself a little bit last year, or at least showed improvement.
He was
there.
Better. Yeah, he did improve.
And it's also that you have to look at how South Carolina uses him. They use his speed. They say, go run a long, long way, and we're going to throw it up there to you. And when you are 6'5", 235, he led the SEC last year in yards per catch at 20.6. He only caught 30 balls. I say only because if you're 6'5", 235, and half separation, to Mitch's point, you could argue that you should catch more than that. I could see him catching 45 passes this year, though. I mean, that's the way he has progressed through his career. I'm not calling a guy that size that is improving every year. I'm not going to call him not talented.
Okay, this is a funny stat, but just bear with me on this, okay? Clemson's receiving core had 50 catches of 20-plus yards last year, okay? In 13 games, they had 50 catches of 20 or more. How many catches did Nick Harbor have?
He had 30 on the year, okay, that 30. Averaged 20.6.
He had... On the average. Now, again, these are two different stats.
He had a 100-yard game against Clemson, by the way.
Yes, he did. He had 30 catches. His average was 20 yards. Clemson only had 50 20-yard catches all year with all of their receivers combined. That guy's an unbelievable big play threat. Unbelievable. I'll even go to that stat. Because do we have another phone call? We got one more phone call.
We do.
Jeff will come to you on the other side. Let me get this stat real quick.
He also had a drop rate of about 10%. So, I mean, you know, there's
some
that.
Give and take with that. I feel like that's true of a lot of fast guys. I really do. Let me see. In the SEC, 20-plus yard catches, he had 10. He had 10 20-plus yard catches last year. There were a bunch of guys with more, but most of them played more than 12 games. The guys who played 12 games, which he only played 11, by the way, but the guys who played 12 games with more 20-plus yard catches than Nick Harbor were Raylan Sharp from Arkansas. Let's see. Cam Coleman from Auburn, which we're going to talk about Texas at some point. Rohan Jones from Arkansas had 14, tight end. Mario Craver from A&M had 14. Chris Brazell had 14 from Tennessee, and that's it, like five guys. Short break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the show with some final thoughts, a couple other items to hit, and Jeff's phone call when we return live from Cinhound in Clemson.
Upset you missed the show today? No problem. We've got you covered with every hour of every show on our podcast page at theroarfm.com.
Touchdown!
And on the Roar app. Download it today.
Attention service.
6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Rome time. Can't wait.
Catch Can't you out wait. Of bounds every day. 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Rome time.
You know, I was talking to Cope about Italy the other day, and he's like, you know, dinner's like long over there. It's like 3-hour meals.
It's an event.
And I was like, well, good, because I'll be doing 3-hour shows during dinner time. That'd be great. Well, I'll just get it right there in the hotel. I talked to somebody at Clemson that had the idea of like, why don't you just walk and talk and, like, carry a Comrex and do the show that way?
Okay.
Risky, but, you know.
I'm for all of that.
Don't put it past me. It's going to be a good weekend. Braves on this weekend against the Orioles, carrying that. And, yeah, you'll just have to tune in and find out who's on. No show Monday, but then someone or something will be on Tuesday through Friday. It's going to be fun. Let's go to Jeff, who's up with us next on the Pratt Andrew Lawyers phone lines. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Clark. How you doing?
Good, man. Hope you're doing well.
I am doing very well. Thank you. I just wanted to look in quickly in case y'all hadn't heard. Have you heard what's going to happen with CBS and NBC? Well, not NBC, but CBS with Channel 7 and Channel 4?
Yes.
Yes. So, essentially, yes, what's going to happen? Go ahead.
Yeah, so, Nexstar, which owns Channel 7, has decided not to re-up their CBS affiliate contract, so they will lose CBS, which will go to WYFF and will be broadcast on WYFF.2. So Channel 7 in the upstate will not have any CBS programming after August 1st. So that means pro football, NCAA basketball, all of that will now be on WYFF.2. And if you have YouTube TV or Dish or Direct, they don't do any of the secondary stations at this time. So to get that programming as of right now, and I'm sure they're going to try to work this out, you have to get it over the air.
Yeah, I'm fascinated to see what they do, Jeff. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. I'm still kind of trying to figure out the implications to this because it kind of hit us like a ton of bricks today. But as of right now, like, you can watch whatever you want. But next Saturday, Channel 7 becomes the CW, which this goes to Ben's master plan where the CW takes over the world.
Yeah, there's something going to happen with that. Wait and see. I don't know what it is, but something's going to happen.
I would imagine that YouTube TV is not going to let a top three, top two college football market miss the CBS football games.
Yeah, I'm not that worried about that. They're going to fix that.
Yeah, I think they're going to get that fixed. Somehow, some way, they're going to get that fixed.
They don't care, and they don't care the subchannels because up until now, they haven't needed to carry the subchannels.
That's right.
Hadn't been right?
That's right, yeah. I think they'll figure this out. Let me run down the rest of the SEC. We're doing SEC order of finish. This is as of the media. If you missed it, Georgia 1, Texas 2. There's a gap there. Ole Miss 3, Texas A&M 4, LSU 5, Alabama 6, Oklahoma 7. There's a gap there. Tennessee 8, Florida 9, Missouri 10. There's a gap. South Carolina 11, Auburn 12, gap. And then I'm going to put Vanderbilt in its own category at 13. They're like 180 behind Auburn and almost 200 ahead of Kentucky. So it feels like Vanderbilt's in their own sort of gap. And then Kentucky and Mississippi State are kind of close, within 100 points at 14 and 15. Arkansas, again, I think the worst roster by far in the league. Arkansas is 16. Ryan Silverfield knows that everyone says he has no aura, he has no pizzazz and no pop. He's just a milquetoast guy. And by the way, he was about to get fired in Memphis. But he did point out that his record against the other coaches in the SEC is 5-1. So that was very interesting. It is kind of fascinating, too. Like, you're asking about people were asking about, or whoever it was, asked about the dark horses in the SEC. Merritt, I believe. And I said Auburn. I feel like a lot of people are going Vanderbilt. There's a wild variance. There's a wild difference of opinion about Vanderbilt because they lost their quarterback and because they have a younger roster, but they still have Clark Lee. And so if you're buying that the bones are good, then it's going to be great. If you're not buying that the bones are good, it's all about the sort of the Johnny Manziel swagger of the quarterback, then maybe it goes bad for Vanderbilt. I feel like that they are a popular, like, if one team is gonna like sweep to the top, that maybe Vandy's got more staying power.
Doubtful. Let's go to the rest of those. I have a Vanderbilt.
Okay.
Question for you.
So I don't think Kentucky's roster is that great. I think I like Kenny Minchie quite a bit, and they've spent some money. So there's that. You know how I feel about Mississippi State. In fact, let me do my Mississippi State propaganda let me do 60 seconds of Mississippi State propaganda. They have won one SEC game in 2 years, okay? But last year, they lost to Tennessee at home by 7. They lost at Florida by 2. They lost to Texas by 7. That's 3 one-score losses early in conference play. They had some injury stuff. They got, they beat Arkansas. They got bounced by Georgia, bounced by Mizzou, bounced by Ole Miss. They are at South Carolina week 1. Be careful. I'd say mostly be careful with home games. Ben, I'm gonna put this out there for you, okay? Missouri at home, I think Mississippi State wins. I think Missouri's fine, but I think they're middle to maybe like bottom half of the SEC. I think they win that game. I think they could easily beat Alabama, and I know they don't beat Alabama. It's been since 1996. Kamario Taylor is 6'4", 230, and Jeff Levy is calling plays for him. They've got Fluff Bothwell back after a couple of 700-yard seasons running the ball. They have a couple of their top receivers back, including Anthony Evans, 800-yard receiver. Their defense was much better than people think, and now Zach Arnett is a defensive coordinator again. So there's that. Their next home game is Oklahoma, October 24th. Your quarterback could be on a gurney by then, okay? We could be doing, like, well checks on John Mateer at any moment. Not chalking that one up. Vanderbilt is another home game that they have. I'm not chalking that up as a win for Vanderbilt. As I said, I think that Taylor may have a quarterback advantage in that game over Curtis. And then Auburn is their home game on November 14th. I think every single one of they have 5 league home games. I think every single one of those is winnable when you consider that last year they took Texas to overtime, they took Tennessee to overtime, they almost won at Florida. The only games that they got beaten soundly at home were by 2 top 6 teams in the country in Georgia and Ole Miss. That's what I'm saying about Mississippi State. That's my 60 seconds of Mississippi State propaganda.
I would just say they're due to win a close game.
Somewhere along the line.
They're just due.
That's right.
I told you I had something with Vanderbilt. As we end things here today, the Ravens squawk signed Diego Pavia. The Ravens have already cut Diego Pavia. He didn't even make it to camp. We've seen enough. And I would just ask you and our listeners, what's the next job for Diego Pavia?
I'm glad you asked this, Ben.
99% go pro in something other than sports.
You know, maybe he will. Maybe he will.
No, there's no maybe about it.
I mean, I'm just going to read. This is a CBS Sports. This is an actual writer, okay? Garrett Podell for CBS. This is yesterday. Diego Pavia's stay with the Baltimore Ravens didn't last long. After signing the 2025 Heisman Trophy runner-up as an undrafted free agent out of Vanderbilt on May 1st, the Ravens waived him 83 days later on Thursday. What can you do as an undrafted free agent to get bounced before a single practice? What do you have to do?
And what is it, like a $3 million contract or something?
Yeah, I mean,
it was something crazy.
It wasn't a minimum. It for sure wasn't a minimum. So it says Pavia was in the mix to compete for the third spot in their quarterback depth chart behind Lamar Jackson and Tyler Huntley. The competition was Skylar Thompson, who can forget him, and Joe Fagnano from UConn, also an undrafted free agent in 2026. So this is hilarious, okay? This is so funny. I'm so glad you brought this up. So where could Pavia's next landing spots be? Here are a few potential options. Option one. New York Jets. So they're gonna go to the New York Jets, okay? And it talks about, oh, Geno Smith, he led the league in both interceptions and sacks taken, okay? And is about to turn 36. Behind him, Cade Klubnik, Brady Cook, Bailey Zappi. Nothing to write home about. The Jets are playing for the future. Why not give Pavi a turn to see if he can hang at the NFL level, all right? There's a good chance he could be a solid co-captain of New York's tank brigade in 2026. That's what it says. So New York Jets, option one.
Let me give you some options. Office Depot, frontline manager.
Just wait. Just wait.
Oompa Loompa.
What about the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in the CFL? That's option two. Winnipeg has owned Pavia's Canadian Football League negotiating rights since 2024. Who knew that? That's option two. Option three, UFL. The UFL. Obviously, Pavia will look to secure some form of football employment for the fall.
Option two, Scent Hound here in Clemson. They're going to be hiring. They're growing. I think Pavia would be a great dog groomer.
Number four is the world of podcasting and social media. The funniest thing to me about that is they're like, okay, where could Pavi end up now? The New York Jets or minor league football or not football at all. That's the most disrespectful thing anyone said about the Jets. They didn't put another NFL team in there, but the Jets.
Option three, stop go sign holder on the side of the road for paving. Yeah, you're not in the right. You're not in the right zone here for Diego Pavia.
Oh, Diego. Oh, that's great. That's great. Any bets Pavia couldn't keep his mouth shut? I'd take that. Oh, my God. Texter said, do OnlyFans like his mom?
He's going to pimp out his mother.
That's so
It
That's
you know
so
he's
mean.
Got a better chance of that than he does
Lord.
An NFL career.
You know, they talked about podcasting. Would he just be like Theo Von's co-host? Remember Theo?
Oh, now
I mean,
okay. See, now you're
is
in
that
the
his
right.
Dad?
You're
the
in the right category
Theo Von.
Now.
Is Theo Von his stepdad?
Now you're thinking more realistic.
They did go on a date, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't that a thing? They actually did go out. Oh, man. Somebody said, win the Kentucky Derby as a jockey. That's mean. He's not that short, people.
He is.
That's mean.
Poor horse.
That's just mean. Uber driver.
Hey, we got to wrap things up here.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Only thing shorter than Pavi was his NFL career. I tell you. Hey, I tell you. Oh, man. That's a great note to end on. You
Thank
know?
You, Scent Hound, for having us out today.
Yes. Fantastic job. Cast of Thousands was here, and a great time was had by all. Come by and see him, really. If you come by in the next few minutes, there will still be pizza and cake. I can assure you that. Hey, want to thank everybody. Thanks, Sam. Thanks to Ben. Thanks to Cope and everybody. I'll see y'all next week.
Safe travels.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson. Greenville Anderson. WAHD-AM 1560. Cowpens. 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar.